wonderful evening to set aside to look at and to think about the story of Jesus. So tonight, it is all about Jesus, as it always is. But we're going to look at the story of Jesus, particularly his coming, born in the flesh of a virgin, laid in a manger in Bethlehem, and all of the rich meaning and the fullness of why he came. And so I am so thankful that you have joined us this evening for the special celebration of our Savior and his birth. Let's pray, and then we'll begin our worship service. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you. We are so thankful for the Lord Jesus, that he willingly came to this earth. He humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a slave, your servant. He fulfills your will. He humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross for us. Thank you, Father, that our Savior came and he died for the sins of the world. And then he rose from the dead bodily, and he ascended to heaven where he sits, and he will return for us. And Father, we are so thankful for the good news, the glorious news of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be exceedingly joyful. We would have such full, rich, joyful spirits because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, Father, to think and to weigh these truths and to allow them to encourage and to strengthen our spirit and our soul. May Jesus Christ be elevated in all of our minds. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight that needs an introduction to Jesus, may this be the night that they meet our Savior and they trust him and they believe him for their eternal life. Thank you again, Father, for the good news that we can again enjoy hearing tonight. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. So again, I want you to be exceedingly joyful about our Savior Jesus. And I want you to realize that the Bible says God created everything in six literal days. He created everything out of nothing. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and Colossians 1 says it's the Lord Jesus who spoke everything into existence. All things came through him. He cried, called out, "Let there be light." He's the one that formed the dry land and the seas. He's the one that stretched out the heavens. And then he began to fill this creation. He began to put vegetation on the land, and he filled our universe full of stars just simply by speaking them out. Millions upon millions of stars. He created a sun to give us guidance for the day and a moon for night. He, by simply speaking, the Lord Jesus created all the fish of the sea and all the birds of the air. Listen, the power of our God, the glorious person of Jesus Christ. He simply speaks and it happens. And then on that sixth day, after making all the creeping animals and the things that walk on the earth, the Lord Jesus scooped down and picked up dust of the earth, and he fashioned man. And he breathed into man his breath, and man became a living being. We are unique. You are made in the image of God. And his purpose and his design is that you would have a relationship with him, that you would know him and serve him and love him. So he made Adam and Eve as image bearers. And he gave Adam responsibility. He said, "Adam, subdue and tread over all creation. Bring all creation into glory for me." Of course, we know that there was a test in the garden. Adam could eat any fruit of any tree except one, the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that Adam ate of that tree, the fruit of that tree, he would surely die. There would be spiritual death. He could no longer fellowship or have a relationship with the Lord, but also physical death would come upon him and his descendants. We know that Eve was deceived by the serpent, and then she took of the fruit and gave it to Adam, and he ate of the fruit. And when Adam disobeyed God, that one act brought judgment upon mankind. And we know the story, that Adam was spiritually separated from God, and he began to physically die. And ultimately, Adam and Eve died and went into the ground. They passed the curse of sin to all of us. We are born with sin, and we commit sinful acts. And the wages, consequence of sin, is death. This is what God has ordered. But at the same time, God gave a promise. He gave a glorious promise that a seed of a woman one day would come, and the seed of this woman would crush the devil's head, destroy all of our enemies, sin, death, and the devil, and those who believe in him would be given everlasting life. Now, this offer is given to you tonight to know and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that he died for your sins, and he rose from the dead. So this promise was given back in the Garden of Eden, some 4,000 BC. And they waited year after year, year after year, for the coming of the Savior, the Messiah. And one day he came. So let's continue on, and we're going to sing two hymns, Joy to the World, and right into Hark the Herald. Now, I'd like to have Jeff come and share a special. And I want you to just, as we now continue on, we saw creation, God creating everything out of nothing, that mankind fell in rebellion against God. We became his enemies, wicked and alienated in our minds, and God made a promise to send a Savior. And now the years would go, waiting for a Savior. And so this song, Little Drummer Boy, kind of almost gives the anticipation of even the drummer boy waiting, anticipating for the Messiah to come. About 2,000 years ago, God sent from heaven an angel Gabriel down to this earth to a little village called Nazareth, right on the hilltops there north of the Jezreel Valley. Here's what the Word of God says about the coming of the Lord Jesus in the flesh. Now in the sixth month, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Had to be a virgin, because if Jesus had a real father and a real mother, he would have our sin nature. He would have to be born of a virgin, just like the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, so he would not have our sin nature. So this angel came to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," meaning salvation. This is the seed of the woman that was promised in the Garden of Eden. Mary is now being told that she will bear this child. Listen to the description of this child in verse 32. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest," right out of the book of Proverbs, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. 2 Samuel 7 promised David a descendant to sit on the throne forever. The babe in Mary's womb would be the Son of the Highest, but would sit someday on the throne of David for all eternity. No one will be able to defeat him. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born." Notice the angel's description of the babe, the Holy One, the one without sin, who then on the cross would be sin for us. This Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." So here the angel announced God was coming in the flesh, and Mary will conceive and deliver this baby. So let's sing this hymn. It's found up on the screen. Mary, Did You Know?
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now. to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together before. Breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you if a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Breath of heaven, hold me together before ever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of
listen, don't you want that same responsiveness to Jesus that Mary had when the Lord had this task for her and she just simply said, "Behold, I'm the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done as you say." We should always so open because of all that the Lord Jesus has done for us that we simply say, "Lord, what will you have me do? I will go and I will do it joyfully, whatever." If he can leave heaven and come to earth to die for my sins, then there's nothing that he could ever ask of me that would be too much. Simply, I would just want to do it. And so another character in the Christmas story, Joseph. Let's think about his perspective quickly. Matthew chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things," see, don't you love just the fact that he didn't rush into things and he didn't fly off the handle, he didn't go into the flesh, he simply thought about these things, not wanting to make a public example of Mary. "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David.'" Remember, Joseph's in the line of kings that was cursed by Jeconiah back in Jeremiah 22. Joseph could be ruling as king of Israel, but he's a carpenter in Nazareth. He is the son of David. The angel says, "Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Listen, "for he will save his people from their sins." That is the reason he came this first time, is to save us from our sinful condition. "Behold," this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, through the Lord, by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. See, isn't it great? The obedience, just the absolute simple obedience. He did as the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So let's think about Joseph's perspective of Joseph, now an adopted father to Jesus, realizing the baby that he was holding was God in the flesh. Pastor Joe.
Could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be?
And so the journey to Bethlehem begins. Gospel of Luke chapter 2 takes us there. Luke chapter 2 sets the scene behind it. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so I want you to think just briefly with me this scene in Bethlehem as Mary and Joseph go down to be registered for the taxation. And Bethlehem, the house of bread. Jesus in John 6 said he was the bread that came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of him, if anyone believes him, their trust is in him alone, that he would give them eternal life, everlasting life. It means we've abandoned our good works, we abandon and forsake our religion, and we simply trust the person of Jesus Christ. Because now we can see God had a plan back in the garden to send a seed of a woman to crush the devil's head and take care of sin and death. The Savior came through Mary there in Luke chapter 1. And then we saw Joseph's response in Matthew chapter 1. But here they get down to Bethlehem and the days are ready for her to be delivered. She has baby Jesus, and she wraps him in swaddling bands of cloth and lays him in a manger. Now, the typical scene that we have in our mind is that it's a stable, maybe next to the inn with horses and cows and pigs. And I want to just throw out another possibility. There is a place called Migdal Eder in Micah chapter 4, verse 8. Migdal Eder, it's called the Tower of the Flock, Micah 4, 8. And it says there, the former dominion of the Lord will come. Micah 4 is all about the second coming of Jesus. But there in that one verse, he mentions the former dominion of the Messiah. And it actually fits right in with the whole pattern of Micah 5, 2, Bethlehem Ephrata. But back in Genesis 35, something happened at Migdal Eder in Bethlehem. Rachel, Jacob's wife. Rachel means lamb. They traveled from Bethel, which means house of God. So a lamb traveled from the house of God with Jacob. She was going to give birth to a baby boy, but it was a hard labor. Now you're talking 2,000 years before Jesus. And there, right at Bethlehem, she, as she was giving birth to the baby boy and she was dying, she cried out that the baby boy's name should be Ben-Oni. Ben-Oni in the Hebrew, man of sorrows, son of sorrows. She knew she was going to die, leave this earthly scene, so she cried out, name this boy Ben-Oni, the son of sorrows. But Jacob said, no, his name shall be Ben-Yamin, meaning son of the right hand. Now, isn't it true that Jesus is the son of sorrows? He has borne the weight of our sin, all of our disease and our Every wicked act, everything that we have done in offense against a holy God, Jesus has taken upon himself in his own body. Plus, his life on earth was a life of rejection by those whom he created. So he truly is the Son of Sorrows, but through the death and resurrection, he is the Son of God's right hand. And Jacob set up a pillar called Migdal Eder and the Tower of the Flock. It's possible, it's very possible, that Jesus was not born around cows and sheep and donkeys and camels, but he was born around sacrificial sheep, maybe even being cared for by the same shepherds on the hillside. Bethlehem's only a couple miles from the Temple Mount, and they would have been so sure that those baby lambs would be without spot, without blemish, so they'd be fit for sacrifice, that they would wrap the limbs of the little baby sheep with swaddling bands so that they wouldn't fall and nick themselves and then be unfit for temple sacrifice. So Jesus, who is the one Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world, maybe is born and laid in the feed trough surrounded by hundreds of sacrificial sheep, which could never take away our sin. I think that's maybe the picture God wants to give us. Jesus died for your sin and for my sin. And the sin of an animal could never do it. We needed another man, a willing man, but we needed a man without sin on him. Jesus knew no sin, and he became sin in our place. What a savior. What a savior. Let's sing about this great city, this great village called Bethlehem. Well, now that the Lord Jesus has been born, God in the flesh, laid in a feed trough, now the world needs to begin to know. And God announces it to some shepherds on the hillside. So let's continue on and think about this glorious story of Jesus Christ. Phenomenal, wonderful truth. Luke chapter 2, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And again, possibly the same shepherds that would be watching the temple sheep there at Migdal Eder. But here's what happens that night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." This is good news. The bad news, we have all come under the weight and the condemnation of sin. We have rebelled against God, and we deserve an eternal lake of fire, separated from him for all eternity. The good news, God has made a solution. He has given us the person of Jesus Christ as the solution to our sin. These truly are good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is what we need, someone who can save us from the penalty, the power, and the presence of our sin. And then it says this, "He is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Tremendous news to the shepherds. They are eager, I'm sure, to hear that there will soon be no more sacrifices needed at the temple for the one who has come that will deal with our sin. He will take care of it permanently. But the word of God says it wasn't just one angel then that was there, but a whole multitude of heavenly hosts joined him. And it says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now, why this whole heavenly host? It's possible. What Revelation 12 says, it wasn't such a silent night, but Revelation 12 says that the devil himself, the serpent of old, was seeking to kill the child as he was born. And so who knows all that was transpiring, but maybe the Lord said, "The commander-in-chief is now a babe in a manger. I want the heavenly armies, not the choir, but the armies of God, the heavenly host to be there, surrounding that whole Bethlehem hillside, because the commander-in-chief of the heavenly host is now a babe." Who knows how that all worked out, but we do know the message. Give God glory in the highest. The highest of heavens, God gets the glory. He is the all in all. He is everything. Listen, if Jesus Christ is not everything to you, then you are missing out and you are lacking out exactly what God wants. There's no place to be apathetic, complacent, or lukewarm about Christ. He's either everything he says he is, and even more, because we have yet to scratch the surface of who he is and his nature and character. But we do know his finished work for us. Listen, we of all people should be the most joyful and the most passionate about our Savior. So glory to God in the highest. What's going to happen on earth? God is going to make peace with men of his good pleasure. The only way for peace with God, because by our sin we are enemies against God, the only way to have peace with God is to trust Jesus, to trust him. Have your faith in him alone. So let's sing a quick chorus of the angelic song here, Angels We Have Heard on High. Just one verse. All right, so the glad tidings of great joy were delivered to the shepherds. They heard it from this whole host of angels as well. They passed it on, and they passed it on, and other people passed it on until I received it. And then I received it October 1st, 1993, and then now I'm passing it on to you. And so what will you do with this message? Will you receive this message of grace that God has given, that all of your sins can be paid and removed by trusting in Jesus Christ? That is a great gift. It is an offer, an invitation by God of his great love for you. Oh, he wants to spend all eternity with you, but you must have your faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is not by works, lest any man should boast. It's not by religion. There is nothing you can do to gain favor with God. Nothing. Nothing at all. He has done it all, but we trust him. Our faith is in him alone. And so I encourage you during this next song to trust the Lord Jesus. And then after this, there'll be just a few verses maybe up on the screen, and then we'll light our candles and sing our concluding hymn.
Shelter from the cold night air, some place where she could lay her head, where she could give her babe a quiet bed. Was there no room, no corner there in all the town, a spot someone could spare? Was there no soul come to their aid? A stable bare was where the family stayed. Do you have room for the Savior? And do you seek him anew? Have you a place for the one who died for you? Are you as humble as a shepherd boy, or as wise as men of old? Would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room? A star arose, a wondrous light, a sign from God, this was the holy night. And yet so few would go to see the babe who came to rescue you and me. This child divine is now a king, the gift of life to all the he brings, and all mankind he saves from doom. But on that night for him there was no room. Do you have room for the Savior, and do you seek him anew? Have you a place for died for you. Are you as humble as a shepherd boy, or as wise as men of old? Would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room? Will you come tonight? Will you seek the light? Do you have room?
And I can't even tell you how much the Lord Jesus means to me. And this verse here, and yet so few would go to see the babe who came to rescue you and me. Jesus came to rescue us from our sin. I do not want you to leave here tonight without that salvation. I don't. Who knows what the next year will bring? Who knows what the next day will bring? Who knows when our death is? Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Our Savior has done everything for us, everything. He loves you with an everlasting love, and He wants you with Him for all eternity in heaven. A real, physical, literal place. Heaven is glorious. If we could go to heaven right now, listen, if we could just spend 30 seconds in heaven and get out there and step on the ground and look at the grass and the trees and the water, and but then to stand there and look at Jesus for even a moment, to see the twinkle in His eye and the glimmer in His teeth, just to see the smile as He looks upon us, we would be down here so on fire for Christ. We would be just passionate about letting people know about this good news and glad tidings of great joy. But I can tell you, if God brought this chapel down to hell right now, down to the place of torment, and He even said, you can just look out the window and see what it's like. The darkness, the despair, the gloom, the constant reminder of sin unpaid or sin being paid by the individual because they would not receive Jesus. There would be not a person here that would ever go there. I know that. But what will you do tonight with Jesus? Maybe you already know Him as your Savior, but maybe this is a time to get like built up with a great fire inside you. Just kindle the blaze of fire for Jesus. Maybe that's what it is. But whatever it might be, I want you just to consider the whole story of Jesus from creation to His birth, and we know He's coming again. Wow. There's no greater story. I'm glad tonight that we can share it together. Listen to these verses here up on the screen. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. That's why He came. That's what the gospel, that's what 1 John says. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. His only Son came that we might live, not just have eternal life, but live it out here on earth. In a day-by-day relationship with Him. And we have seen and testify, this is John the Apostle, that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. The Apostle John traveled with Jesus for 3 years. Intimate ministry, hearing His teaching, watching His miracles, sitting around the campfire at night. John knew, this man is God in the flesh. He is the Savior of the world. And I pray tonight that He will be your Savior. Now, what we'll do is we're going to sing O Holy Night, two verses, and we'll light our candles. I want you to realize that Jesus is the light of the world. Without Jesus Christ, this world is a dark, despairing place. The darkness has engulfed our earth since sin entered, and Jesus is the only light. He is the light of the world. And by you trusting in Jesus, you then are also a light And you are not to cover up your light, but you're to let all people see your good works, all that flows out of your salvation, so that God the Father might receive glory. So we'll start the candles going as we sing O Holy Night. Now, after O Holy Night, there's a couple of verses from the Gospel of John that we'll read together. All right? So we'll read those verses together, and let's stand up. It's easier to light the candles when you're standing. And then we'll sing O Holy Night, and then we're going to end with Silent Night and a word of prayer. Yeah, there we go. Let's pass that light around. Karen can go way to the back, and we can get the Melissa maybe go to the back. Or no, you better stay here. All right. Again, what will you do with Jesus? He's a great God and great Savior. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You can say it with me. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you. Thank you for this good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the story that we have been reminded of tonight, from creation to the fall of man and our enemy state against you, and to the promise of a Savior, to the coming of a Savior, and the pain of our sin, and His resurrection from the dead. We have such a great Savior. I pray that every man and woman, every boy and girl here tonight would know Jesus as their Savior. And this would be an exciting and a new part of their life. And Father, for those who have known the Lord for many years, just always keep this fresh so that we could be full of exceedingly great joy. Thank you again, Father, for doing a work in our life. We know it's through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and I just pray that we will be obedient to your Word, we would humble ourselves, and love you with whole hearts, souls, and minds. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless these families, just allow them to enjoy each other, but enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us safety as we travel home tonight, and may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you all for being here this evening for our candlelight worship service. And again, if you have any decision that you'd like to make, please just share that with somebody. You're welcome to share it with me. I'd rejoice with you. But God bless you all, and Happy New Year 2015 coming up.